Tonight, I would share three stories about people struggling with the Lord. Now, if I say struggling with the Lord, some of you will probably think, Jacob. And that's the immediate one that comes to mind. Jacob wrestled with the Lord, and his name changed to Israel, was one who struggles with the Lord. But there are others as well. There's Abraham, and there's Jesus as well in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm just going to look at these three points really to help us to pray tonight and to kind of increase our prayer life is my hope and prayer. And the story of Abraham is in Genesis 18. And the Lord says to Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Its wickedness is far beyond anything. And I'm going to destroy the whole city and everyone in it. And Abraham pipes up and says to the Lord, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? And the Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up again. Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of righteous is five less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of five people? If I find 45 there, said the Lord, I will not destroy it. And it goes on until Abraham gets down to 10 people. And I always read the passage and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. How do you know when to argue with God? I mean, that's a big question, isn't it? When do you argue with God? When's it right to kind of shout back? When's it wrong to shout back? What should you shout back over? And oh my word, how do you do that? And how come the Lord gives in as well? And it's an amazing story. And what I find amazing is that Abraham constantly reminds the Lord, what is your heart for? And the Lord's heart is always to save people. And in this case, it was the righteous people. Now, interestingly enough, what happens is that the Lord sends angels and rescues Lot and his family and others and takes them out of the city. And the city of Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed still. But the point is that the righteous people in the city were saved. And it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because it seems like Abraham is, you know, God saying yes, and he does agree. But then, at the end of it, the righteous people are saved, as Abraham requested. And the city was still destroyed. But the incredible thing is that God allows Abraham to talk to him in that way, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just incredible? And the second story that comes to my mind is in Genesis 32. And it's the story of Jacob. That night, this is verse 22 in chapter 32, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with human beings and have overcome. And Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called that place Peniel, saying that it is because I saw God face to face and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. And it's an amazing story, another situation where Jacob, another person of God, wrestles with God. God, I'm not going to let you pass until you bless me. And Jacob, we know the story of Jacob, don't we? His name actually meant the one who deceives. The one literally who grasps someone else's heel, which meant the one who deceives. And Jacob's whole life, he had deceived his brother, he had deceived others, and he had tried to get his own blessing. How can I manufacture this? What can I do? And he was a strong man as well. He had the strength to roll away a huge stone from a well. That's in chapter 29. And he was used to being able to have the ability to create and generate blessing. And then he meets the man of God and he does the same thing. He gets stubborn. I'm going to do this. I'm going to create my own blessing. I can manage this. I can force it. And the man, who is God, says to him, what is your name? He didn't actually say, here you go, be blessed. You can have whatever you want, do whatever you want. He said, what is your name? And he says, Jacob, the one who deceives. And at this point in the story, Jacob is running from his brother Esau, who's catching up with him. The history is coming back to haunt him again. And the response isn't, I'm going to sort everything out for you, Jacob. It's, what is your name? Because I've got a new name for you. For you have struggled with God, and you have struggled with human beings and overcome them. And there's this sense that God doesn't say, I'm going to solve everything, every little bit for you. But he says to Jacob, you were a deceiver. Now you are someone who struggles with God. You are someone that goes on from here with God. He says, this is what you've been doing. Here's a future. What are you going to do, Jacob? Old name, new name. What will you be? What will you choose to do? And the blessing in this encounter is actually hidden in the touching of Jacob's hip. Jacob, being a physical guy who could move the lid off a well, a big rock, who could manufacture his own circumstances, he can no longer walk as he used to. And that limp slows him down. And ultimately it means in the next chapter he faces Esau. He faces others. And then the third story was Jesus in Gethsemane. Lord, and I'll read this. He just left his disciples and he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he went back. He found the disciples praying. He woke them up and warned them. Then he went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. And there's this thing that actually Jesus himself wrestled with his Father's will. And throughout scripture, there's people wrestling with what is God's will? And essentially the question, how are we blessed? How do things go from bad to good? Questions we all face. And the answer always has to come from the Lord. And the Lord loves it when we come to him with these struggles. Even though Jacob came with this attitude of deceiving and this attitude, I can build my own thing, God still does a work and still loves the fact that Jacob comes to him and gives him the chance to have a new future, a different thing, and face up to what has happened in the past. And the same thing is that God loved it when Abraham came to him and said, what about these people? How can they suffer? And there's that sense that God says, yeah, you're right. How can they suffer? And I want to open us up to that chance today. That perspective of prayer life, wrestling with God, is a hard thing to do. And there are many things that I know as people, as a church, individually, that break our hearts. What's going on, God? How does this work? Why has this happened? Where do we go from here? God, we seem to be doing all the right things, but there doesn't seem to be the right result from them. And the Lord says, come and struggle with me. And like Jacob, we might walk away with a limp. We might have to confront the past. But actually, as we walk, God does a new thing in our life. He gives us a new name, a new destiny, a new thing. Like Abraham, we see actually God does save the righteous. God does save people. And his will for the city and sin is still dealt with. And like Jesus, that we come and actually we come into God's will in a fresh way, understanding it, breathing it, living it, even knowing what that might cost. So struggling with God is a challenge. It's not comfortable. And we like to have comfortable prayers, don't we? But actually, if we come to the Lord and say, God, help me, it means a lot of things. But it's good. God works. We don't know how it's going to work out, but it's going to work out. Actually, tonight, I thought it'd be really good. And I don't know, we could do it in pairs, we could do it in groups. Just come together, really. And maybe together, ask the Lord, Lord, I've got this situation in my life. What do I do with it? Lord, as a church, we want to see people come to know you. How can we do it? Lord, I see people suffering around me. How can we help them? How can they be blessed? Actually, as tonight we struggle with God, we go to God and say, God, your promises say, you are good. And we want to see your goodness work out.